The work that was done on the property's office. We break all the current offerings around up this way. Those were verbalized. Those were not verbalized, and it will be done in all of those things. And as you study the word this way, this credit should be seen as may not only part of our lives, but may learn things to share with others as they door of virus is open. Those who pray for the spirit of boldness that come upon us to boldly proclaim this gospel for the last time.
Amen. Amen. In fact, I'm going to look at Romans 3:27. I'm sorry, I said Romans 4, but it's going to be Romans 3:27, verse 27. Romans 3:27. That's where we're going to start at. We're going to use that as our congregational reading, then we'll begin to express what we're talking about today. Romans, the third chapter, verse 27. If you have to say amen.
Amen.
Let's read. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Amen. Today we're going to discuss something that I made reference to maybe a couple of months ago as it pertains to Abraham. And I believe that this is very important for us as we begin to develop who we are in Christ and try to figure out different ways we can communicate this glorious gospel. Because we find that as we try to communicate this glorious gospel that we have, a lot of times people don't understand that there's a connection to Abraham that we have as members of the body of Christ. When you hear Abraham, what's the first thing they think about?
The law.
Father of Israel, the law. You know, and really he's used before the law, but they automatically think of the father of Israel. So we find that Abraham is a central figure that we can utilize to express how God is justifying the uncircumcision uncircumcision through faith and the circumcision by faith. And the principles that go with that, we're going to try to keep it simple as possible because the whole purpose of having any study is so that when we can leave here, we can convey or share this information with other individuals that we meet or we may come across their path. Look at Romans, the 15th chapter, verse 4. Very familiar verse here, but this is what we're going to do today. I just want to open up with this verse because it's going to have some reference to what we're talking about here. Romans the 15th chapter, verse 4. It says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might what? Have hope." Now that's what we absolutely want to look at today. We're going to look at some things that were written aforetime. And we're going to need to understand how those things are going to increase our hope and give us a better understanding of what God has done for us as members of the body of Christ. Now, the topic that we're discussing today is only mentioned one time in this phraseology in the Bible. That's the law of faith. Boy, this is something that God kept secret before the foundation of the world. It's never been spoke on before. The only individuals that really should have a good foothold on what this is all about is member individuals that actually are participants or beneficiaries of it. And guess who that is? Amen. That's you and I. The law of faith. The law of faith is something that God is utilizing in the lives of believers. And he gave an example of how the law of faith is going to work through an individual named Abraham. That's what we're talking about today. And we want to begin to talk about the contrast between Abraham being justified in circumcision. What circumcision? When he was a what? Amen. He's under law. He was a Jew. And versus his justification in uncircumcision. And that's his identity with who? The heathen, the uncircumcised. So we really want to look at that contrast. We're going to actually go back to the area of scripture and really look and see what God is actually making the reference to. But we're going to start right here in Romans, the fourth chapter here. Romans 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, we're going to look at. Romans 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. Yeah. Romans 4, verses 1, 2, and 3, it says, "What shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but what? Not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him as righteousness." When you're talking about first mentions in the Bible, the first time this had really become exclusive, that Abraham's belief is what counted, what God gave him his righteousness based on his belief, is when it was revealed through the pen of the Apostle Paul. The Jews didn't look at Abraham from the vantage point of just believing. The Jews in the circumcision looked at Abraham being justified before God by what? That's faith plus works, everything he did. So they were looking at the sum of the works, the sum of the things that he did in response to what God told him. And that's the only justification that they view. The circumcision only just, that's all they see, because what God was doing as pertains to the law of faith was hidden. They could not see. Now, I haven't mentioned what the law of faith is, but we're going to look at it because you've been made a participant in it. You've been made a beneficiary of it. Abraham was made a beneficiary. And we're going to see that common thread of what did God do with him that mirrors what he's done with us and how beautiful it is. Because when you see that, it should be liberating to you. And the reason you try to tell things up a good thing, good news, every good thing that's in you, liberating things, because if I tell you about something good, it should give you a motivation to do what?
Do good.
Do good, that's one thing, definitely do good. But after you do good, if I'm telling you about some good news, what generally what people want to do with good news?
Share it.
That's what we want to share, the good news. I'll tell you about a great sale somewhere. We often talk about that. Generally, you know, Jim not here today, but Jim shared good news. Somebody tell Wanda about a shoe sale. My wife, they're going to get some, you know, whatever your thing is, you're going to get the good news. We really, really like good news, and this is good news. And this is what we want to share here. We want to look at the good news aspect of it so we can show what glorious thing God has done to bring us into himself through this thing called the law of faith. I'm going to talk about this for a very brief moment. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, now right here, what it says, our father, whose father?
Our.
You see, now that's tricky. I'm glad you said it. Amen. Right. I'm glad you said it, Jew, because oftentimes when I think Abraham, my father, I thought the Apostle Paul was saying our father from the vantage point of the Jews. But because of the law of faith, he's saying our father. And then he comes on, and this is what makes it so tricky here. He comes on, he says, as pertaineth to the flesh as found. Guess what?
Is that wrong? No.
Okay, I thought you was reading that. Make sure, take off. I had the ASV, just make sure you always got to keep, I had the ASV to do a contrast when I was at the conference. Okay, yeah, definitely do. Definitely do. I had it the contrast at the conference I was using it. But he said, as pertaining to the flesh has found. Abraham found out something about his flesh. And this is what he said. And what he found out about his flesh, the Apostle Paul is revealing to us so that we'll understand the same thing as it pertains to our flesh. And look what he said. For if Abraham were justified, how? By works he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. So Abraham came to the conclusion, as it pertains to this particular justification, and it pertains to the law of faith, that whatever he did in his body, he would not be able to glory before God with it. What he was doing as it pertains to his body. Would that be the same way James would recognize that?
Yes.
Amen. No. James. What would James say as it pertains to faith plus work? But Abraham, as it pertains to the way Paul is revealing to him to us, he says he's not going to glory in anything that he's doing as it pertains to the flesh. Because there's a way that God revealed Abraham to us that we're going to take a look at that was never before seen in the scriptures. And it's right back there. And a lot of people read it and read over it, but they don't see that God left a whole lot out as it pertains to how he revealed how he felt about the Apostle Paul. About Abraham when he actually recites Abraham's faith. And that's something we're going to take a look at today. We're going to take a look at the contrast between what Abraham actually did back here. Now, look what it says here. For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. Verse 3. For what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and what? It was counted. So now that's going to be our point of reference. We want to see exactly in the Scriptures, where did Abraham believe God that it was accounted unto him for righteousness? So turn back here with me to Genesis 15. Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. Genesis 15, verses 1 through 6. Look what it says here. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. He's called Abram here. What does that signify? Prior to the covenant of circumcision. How do we know prior to the covenant, the covenant of circumcision? That's when he changed his name. So when you see Abraham, you know that he's been circumcised, and God's referring to him as it pertains to the covenant of circumcision. He changed his name at that time. But now, this is God dealing with Abraham as it pertains to him being Abram, rather. He has it pertains to this. And he says, verse 2, And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eleazar of Damascus? And Abram said, Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. I mean, he said, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thy bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look toward heaven and tell the stars if thou art able to number them. And he said unto them, So shall thy seed be. And he believed the Lord, and it was counted for him for righteousness. So this is where we see that. And he believed the Lord, and it was counted for him for righteousness. This is what we want to see here. God tells him some things. And at the end of what he says, So shall thy seed be. What was Abraham's response to God? What was it?
Belief.
Did he say anything?
No.
Did he do anything at that particular time? He just believed what God said, right? See, so God is showing us through this example. He takes us back to here. He tells us and reflects. Paul reflects back to this particular area of Scripture and says, that's where Abram, before he was circumcised, demonstrated faith. Or that's where Abraham was, believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. That's what it says, right? Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now, this is very important as we're going to parallel what God is doing with us versus what God is doing with individuals in time past and ages to come. Just based upon Abraham's belief, Abraham didn't say anything. He didn't. All he did was believe God. So this goes to contrast with how faith is exhibited today. If somebody preaches a good news or a gospel message to an individual, that Christ died for their sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he rose on the third day according to the Scriptures, what should be their response to that message?
Belief,
right? Do they have to say anything?
No.
Do you have to walk to the front of the church? Be water baptized?
No.
Not if they're following after this example of faith that is based on the law of faith. All they have to do is believe God. God said that he was going to do something, and the manifestation of God doing it really has nothing to do with you other than you believing. And this is what God is really showing us. But I see this same verse over here in Galatians 5. Turn to Galatians 5. We'll get back to Romans, but I want to share with you Galatians 5. because this is going to make us go back here. Watch out this thing. It begins to take some turns, dude. I want you to be able to understand what God did with Abraham, how God was viewing Abraham, because that's going to give you a better scope. It's going to increase your hope and your understanding of how God deals with you and how he finalizes things with you. And it's really good news. Galatians, the 5th chapter, I'll start at verse. Is that right? Galatians, 3rd chapter, I'm sorry. 3:6, right? Galatians 3. Sorry about that. Galatians 3. We'll start at 5. No, actually 6. We'll start. No, actually 5. We have to start at 5. Because there's something synonymous here out of 5 that we're going to bring in. Look at Galatians 3:5. He therefore that ministereth to you in the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, do he it by the works of the law or by what? Hearing of faith. Now, this is something I want to just side note here. Are we still doing miracles today?
No.
Were they doing miracles then? Yes.
Right.
Yeah, of course they were, right?
They doing miracles then?
Were they doing miracles back then?
Yes.
Yes, they were. Did I say, are they doing miracles today? We said.
No.
Are they doing miracles back? Were they doing miracles back then?
Yes.
Was this the body of Christ?
No.
Okay, we're not on the same page then. And I wanted to throw that out there because I'm like, okay, does everybody really understand what's going on here? We have to understand that in the transition of the body of Christ, the church that we belong to, at this, it was almost like a few year transition. Some people say up to like 30 years of a transition. But it's a transition here. And coming in, some of those gifts and different things were still manifesting themselves in the church. But they weren't doing it based upon the law. They were doing it based upon the hearing of faith. So you see that the sign gifts were so right. Paul even talked about it in the book of Corinthians, right?
Yes,
okay, man. He talks about
Israel.
Huh?
It was for the nation of
Israel. Amen. It was for the nation of Israel.
The program of God.
Right. So you see, so if I didn't just be saying that, if they were first of all of the nation of Israel, they were happening in here. You see, it's a transition, right? It's a transition of somebody falling into ministry that somebody is increasing. Because the Jews required a sign. Amen. So that sign was still manifesting itself and God was trying to show them something through what he was doing with the Apostle Paul. Okay, so we go in and we see that they received it by the hearing of faith. Now look what he goes into saying here, Galatians 3:6. Even as Abraham did what? Now isn't this what we just read? See, he's Abraham is cited in Romans, the 4th chapter, and he's cited in Galatians, the 3rd chapter, by the same writer, the Apostle Paul. In one portion, he calls it the law of faith, and here he calls it the hearing of faith. And you're going to see how these two things combine. And you're going to see how it's something that we should incorporate into our understanding of what God is doing with us, or has done with us. But we'll just know. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness. Now watch this. This is how you see God was doing something that was not revealed to us in time past. He did something with Abraham that they had no idea he was doing. He kept it a secret. He kept it a mystery. He was having Abraham do things with full foresight of what the purpose of why he was having Abraham to do them. But the people on the scene had no idea why God was doing that with Abraham. But it was revealed to the Apostle Paul to give us the information. So when we look back on it, those things that were written aforetime were written for our learning, so that we would have, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. See, that's what it's for. We want to understand that because every jot and tittle of this information begins to intertwine itself and it creates what we call segues. We're looking for doors of utterance, how we can share this glorious gospel with other individuals. And this is the centralizing figure right here. Abraham. They want to talk about Abraham. We're going to talk about Abraham, but we're going to talk about Abraham as he is presented to us. And that one centralizing thing that he continues to make reference to, even as Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness. The reason you want to know everything about how Abraham believed God and it was counted for him for righteousness, because there's something that's going diametrically opposed to you that says that if Abraham believed God only, he would not have been justified. Abraham had to believe God, plus Abraham had to do something, because Abraham had to have faith plus. And they don't want to make a distinction and separate these two issues. They want to bring James 2 into what's happening here. But James 2 has absolutely nothing to do with the law of faith. You're going to see it in a minute. So he says, even if Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Now look what it says in verse 7. Know ye therefore that they which are of faith are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. That's that term. It's popping in here. They that which are of faith. They that which are of faith. Now watch how this is defined. Verse 8. And the scripture, look at the scripture. Foreseeing that God, this is important. Look what it says. This is good news here. This is exciting stuff here. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith. I'm going to stop there because there's a standard. I'm going to stop there. Have you ever considered that? What did the scriptures do? How did the scriptures foresee? Where was it written at? I went back there. I couldn't see it in the scripture. What God was going to do with the body of Christ. That he was going to justify the heathen.
They had to come through Israel in time past.
That's right. In time past, they came through Israel. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, look what he did. Preach before the gospel unto Abraham, saying. Now look what it does.
We were in Genesis 15. Right? 1 through 6. He's saying,
that God said something before that. He preached something aforetime that attaches itself to this. Stay with me here. It's going to come together. Stay with me. It's going to come. Look at Genesis 20. Genesis 12. Actually, wasn't finished with that verse, was it? I'll read it while we turn to Genesis 12. And the scriptures, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham. Now, what's the gospel in this case? Amen. So that's what it's telling you what the gospel is. The gospel or the good news that was preached to Abraham aforetime that connects itself to what is said in opening Genesis 15 about his seed. Those two things go together. He said that he preached to Abraham aforetime, and what he preached to Abraham aforetime, look what he said. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. So where do we see that? We see that back in Genesis the 12th chapter. Turn back to Genesis 12. We already have it on cam. Genesis 12 verses 1, 2, 3. This is what he said. We want to see exactly what was said. We want to see exactly what we can now glean from what God actually did with Abraham back here as it pertains to the connection that he's making. Genesis 12, 1. Now the Lord hath said unto Abram, he's Abram. What is this letting us know again? We want to keep this. What is it?
Before circumcision.
Everybody here should know that. That's a conversation. See, the reason we want to know details and little tidbits like that, because when you get into a conversation with somebody about the scriptures, these are key facts that translate to what God is doing today, and you're going to see a difference between circumcision and uncircumcision. This is a part of rightly dividing the word of truth. It's a key term that is used, and this name is associated with that terminology. So we're not just saying it to try to just bring up some air and some empty points. We're saying it because if you know it, you can bring out even more essential information that's going to connect us to the right terms of how they're to rightly divide the word of truth. And circumcision and uncircumcision is definitely a very, very important terminology that is used when you do that. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I show thee. What did he preach to him right there?
Separate yourself.
This is a part of a message that he's preaching to Abraham. He said before time he preached the what to him? The gospel. This is the gospel message that he's preaching to Abraham as it pertains to good news to Abraham as far as what God wanted him to do in order to position himself to do what God, to be in a position that God wanted him to be in. Look what he says, verse 2. And I will make thee a great nation. This is just a promise. That's what you have to do, and this is what I'm going to do. And I will make thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curseth thee, and in thee shall all the families of the earth what? Back here it says families. What does it say in Galatians? Nations. Are they the same? Yes. They're the same. God thinks back here he's talking from a vantage point of families, but families only is the building block of a nation. So in other words, what I'm trying to let you know as far as that's concerned, don't let sometimes terminology throw you off. Recognize the commonality in them, that families are the building blocks of the nation, and that's where all nations and all families shall be blessed. But what am I saying all that to say? He told Abraham to do something. And what does verse 4 say?
He did it.
So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken. God told him, he told Abraham to depart, leave thy country, from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show you. And the next thing you see Abraham doing, kill. He didn't ask God any questions. He said, well, where do you want me to go? No, I'm not leaving my parents. I'm not leaving. No, I'm not doing it. What do you mean? Go somewhere. I don't know. God told him to do something, and he just immediately did it. God connects these two events together. God foreseen something that was going on with Adam, and then by the time he gets over here to 15, the last four things of Galatians said that he said, so shall thy seed be. And then all we find out is that Abraham believed in the Lord and he counted it him for righteousness, right? Right there he counts it for righteousness for Abraham. And before he made any move, he counts, and it's totally complete. Everything as it pertains to what Abraham had to do to be right standing with God is totally complete the moment he counted his righteousness to Abraham. Why is that important to us? How could that give me comfort?
That's all we have to do is believe.
Amen. It's the basis, not only for our standing, it's for our salvation. Because our standing gets us to the point, but our salvation is the end result, glorification. That means if God counts you righteous, that's what we were talking about this weekend at the conference, if God justifies you, counts you righteous, them that he justifies, he also glorifies. So he's going to do everything that's required. But this is the encouraging part about this. God counts him 100% righteous here. Turn back to Romans 4. This is what we had made a reference to a few weeks ago. And I want you to see how God brags on his servant Abraham. I want you to see this. God brags of himself in Abraham. Romans the 4th chapter. Now we just talked about, according to the flesh, that he had found, for what scriptures say, if Abraham believed God, it was counted for him the righteous, right? Now jump down to 9. We're going to do some reading here, because this is something I think all of us should have read or read with understanding. Now that we're discussing, we're going to read as much as possible to get a better understanding. Cometh this blessedness them upon circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith was what? This verse is important for us, so if we read it weak, we might not understand it when we try to break it down. This verse connects something here. Do you realize that in verse 5, it says this? But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly. What does it say? His faith is counted for righteousness. Do you know if we didn't have any verifying verses or connecting verses to that, somebody would argue to their blue in the face that his faith is the individual's faith? I don't know. Maybe you don't see it. Yeah. Do you see what see what we say? Because that the way that it's written out there, there's no English grammar that will make you understand that the faith that is being made reference to here is somebody else's faith. It says his faith, and all you could think based upon what you see here, that faith is who? Whose faith is it? It would be Abraham, right, his faith, right. That's all you would consider. But the law of faith says something different. This is the first time this has been. It's always been by his faith being the individual's faith. Turn to Habakkuk. We looked at this verse before, right? Habakkuk 2 and 4. Habakkuk 2 and 4. Right in between Amos, I believe. Of the Obadiah? No. Micah. Nahum. This is law. Yeah, Habakkuk. Habakkuk 2:4. 2:4. Just bringing one thing out. We're going to get right at it. I'm not going to try and keep with this. But I'm just saying, it's always been, when you're talking about just living, you're always talking about by his faith, because faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the word. God tells you to do something, you do it. God reckons that is your faith, doing what he said to do. And that's how it's always been. This new thing that the Apostle Paul saying is revolutionary. And we want to make sure that people know it's revolutionary, because if you act very doldrum about it, not very plain and complacent about it, they're going to stir it up in the pot with everything they're talking about. You have to see these sharp, concise divisions that the Bible is making, because something brand new is on the scene. Something that's revolutionary, has never been seen before. God is saying some things with regular terminology that's totally different than time past. So when he says, but now the righteousness of God is revealed without the law, that changed everything about being made righteous before God in your own strength. And you want to be able to concisely express everything that it has to say about. Habakkuk 2:4 says, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just. This is the interdispensational statement about the just as it pertains to where they were at dispensationally. The just shall live out. Whose faith is it? The individual's faith. That's all that had ever been seen in time past. The individual getting the word from God. God, even as it pertains to Abraham, and when you look at the passage, we didn't know that God was doing something different with Abraham there. God told him, leave his kindred, go to this land that I will show you. And then he did what God said. So that's what had been revealed. Back to Romans 4. So this is what it says in verse 9. For we say that faith, this is the first time you see this, was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. This is why we say it's not his faith, it's the faith of Christ. But now we see, even in time past, it wasn't his faith, it was the faith of God. It was Christ's faith even back then that was going to get him where he wanted to be, where he needed to be. He didn't know it. No writer back there knew it. But God revealed it to us, the secret that he kept. You get that? Nobody else knew this. This has been revealed to us. This is some privy information that we received of God, that God granted him some righteousness of faith that was not his own. Never before was this done. And he did it for a basis of something that he was setting up in the future. You get it? See, he was setting all of this in motion, but wasn't revealing any of it, was keeping it in. And then when he gives it to the Apostle Paul, Paul just starts spewing it out like, don't you know this? But no, we couldn't have known it. This God never did that by his faith. This is the faith that we did. He never gave somebody credit for something that somebody else had did. He did the scapegoat, but he never did it through people exchanging what you did for what I did. So this is some information that is revolutionary. We need to be able to say, look, God did something different. This is something different that God is doing. Romans 2, Philemon, God revealing a new thing, this law of faith, this hearing of faith is something different than time past when you had to do something. God will allow you to hear something that can change everything in your life. All you have to do is hear it and believe it in your heart. You don't have to walk. You don't even have to confess to me that you believe what you believe. God will see it and everything about you will change. This is exciting news. Let's go a little further. For was it then reckoned when he was in when circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but what? Did we verify that through the scripture? Yeah, we went back there and seen it. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of righteousness of faith that which he had yet been circumcised, that he might be the father of all them that believe, though they be not circumcised, that righteousness might be imputed unto them also, and the father of the circumcision to them who are not of the circumcision only, but who also walk in the steps of the faith of Abraham, father Abraham, which he had being yet uncircumcised. Time sake, let's jump down to verse 16. Therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end, that the promise might be sure to all seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that which is of the faith of Abraham. Now see, here we go. Who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Where did that happen at? What is he talking about? God who calleth those things that be not as if they were. Give me a couple examples. There's a couple examples back there of it. He's reflecting here. What was it? He's trying to look at the stars. Amen. He didn't even have any kids. Those things that be not. God, you're going to be a father of many nations. You don't even have any children, Abraham. You're calling those things that be not as if they are. You're saying that this is the truth. He had already said that he was a father of nations before he was actually the father of nations. God stated this about him. How can God have the audacity to state something to be true before it actually manifests itself? How can he do that? What is it? Because he's God. And he's expressing himself to us that way. He's saying, look, if I tell you it's going to happen, it's going to happen. You need to recognize that. Right. And a lot of times, even in our faith, when we lose sight that we are sealed until the day of redemption and everything, sometimes we'll start doing things on a religious basis and lose sight that God has already made provision for us in everything in our life. This is a comfort for us here. We're going to go a little further. Because people use this verse a lot. Who quickeneth the dead. What does that mean? He brings life to the dead. Where did he bring life to the dead in this situation with Abraham? He imputed righteousness. That gave him life, but also physically with them and something happened. He had a child. That part of them was done. That was done. See, if you think that it was just, he just kind of like knew what was happening, it was almost like you say, well, Mary must have had some hidden seed in her that manifested itself, and it really wasn't, you know, God doing something miraculous through Mary. But when you understand God really did bless Sarah and Abraham the ability to have children way past the year they can physically have children. This was something that God really, really did, and it's something that should be applauded from that vantage point. So we're still looking. Look what he says here. Who quickeneth the dead and calleth these things which be not as though they were. That's what God can do. Who against hope believed in hope. What's happening there? Who against hope believed in hope. How did he do it against hope? Did you look at the situation that Abraham was in? Could it be against hope? How are you saying that? Come on, that's not, you know, Abraham, keep it within the realm of the things you can do. That's kind of outside of your realm of what you're capable of doing at this particular point. So you actually trying to do something against reality, against hope at this particular time. But he says very clearly here what he did. Who against hope believed in hope. Who did the believing? Abraham. Abraham believed what God said pertaining to him in this particular situation. And that's what God wants you to do. God, see, when you're walking by faith in the law of faith, you have to understand that it doesn't matter what the situation looks like. You don't walk by faith. You have victory at the finish line. Just keep walking. Don't get so caught up and entangled in the affairs of this world and the things that's going on in this world, because your victory and where God wants you to be seated at is in the future. Just keep on marching. You'll get there. Who against hope believes in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. So, now we say, so shall thy seed be. A lot of people don't realize why that's so important. The Apostle Paul writes it back here to let us know that was the gospel that was spoken to Abraham. And it parallels with the gospel that's spoken to you and I. And you know, this is something I'm going to say. I know I was going to have a chance to bring this in. You see how concise and clean that is? So shall thy seed be. Is there any way, is it a lot harder to get that confused when the gospel message is short, sweet, and concise? Do you think God would, is it God purposed it to be short and concise, or do you think he can have it long and abridged? Why do you think God would have a message toward us to be short and concise?
So everybody could understand it. You don't have to be an intellectual. Amen.
It goes beyond intellect at that point. There's no reason that you shouldn't get this. It's a very clean and concise thing. And you know the reason I wanted to make a reference to that? Because look at our gospel. Our gospel is the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose on the third day. There's some room for error there, but in most cases it's really a very clean, concise thing that you can express to somebody. If you're preaching the gospel, if you're some type of evangelical mission and you're going out and you're trying to preach the gospel, it's very easy for you to remember Christ died for our sins, he was buried, he rose on the third day according to the scriptures, right? That's what we want to remember. A lot of times, I see that this movement is coming in that wants to take you away from that simple message, keep you in Pauline epistles, but say that the gospel is not 1 Corinthians 15:1-4. The gospel is actually Romans the 3rd chapter, verse 20-30. Now, is that good news, Romans 3:20-30?
No.
Isn't that good news? Amen. It is the details and the dynamics of what God has done for us in salvation. You see that? But it's definitely not the gospel that the Apostle Paul says in Romans 15:1-4 very clearly, that this gospel I preach unto you, that by which you are also saved, the fact that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. So God has a message that is always simple and concise for someone to believe. And that's another pattern that we see as it pertains to what God did with Abraham in time past. Verse 19. And being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. You see what God is saying about him? Huh?
He totally believed
him. He's strong in faith, right? He's staggering not at the promises of God, right? That's how we should be, right? Where is that going to show up in our lives? What he's talking about here. In our walk, right? Turn back to Timothy. Genesis 15. As soon as you get there, do you think that when God told Abraham that he was going to have a seed, that Abraham was married to Sarah?
You see this? Abraham was married to Sarah. He told him that through his seed, all of the nations of the earth shall be blessed, right? Do you think that God wanted Abraham to go outside of his wife and find somebody else to procreate with to manifest that promise? Abraham's strong in faith, and him being strong in faith, him and his wife came to a conclusion that, oh, we're going to do this another way. Why don't you take my hand servant, Hagar, and go unto her, and maybe through that seed, that's where your seed is going to be manifest through the earth. Guess what God is saying about him while he's doing something the wrong way, according to Romans 4. He's staggering not at the promises of God. He's strong in faith. But if we're looking at what Abraham is doing, do it look like he's strong in faith? I hope you're staying with me here. Come on now. If you're looking at the work and the details of what is being done by a recipient of the hearing of faith, it's not going to look like they're doing the right thing, because it's not about what they're doing. If they lean into their own understanding, the first thing he goes into his handmaiden and has a child by her, which is not the promised child. Let's go a little further. Genesis 17. He's staggering not at faith. He's strong in faith here, right? Who says he's strong in faith? One person would. Who's saying he's strong in faith? I want everybody to understand. Who is it? God is saying he's strong in faith. You need to know that God is the individual who's... So God is really letting us know that this is what strong in faith is as it pertains to him, because he already knows that it's whose faith has been reckoned to his account. Whose faith is being reckoned to his account? Who? Christ's faith. See, he's not looking at the details of the dynamics of what Abraham is doing. He's looking at the finish line over there in Genesis 21. Well, come a little further. I want you to see him struggling through it, though. Verse 17. And God said, Abram, as for Sarah thy wife, thou shalt not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and give her the son also of her. And I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of many nations, kings, and peoples shall be of her. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed. He's strong in faith. He's staggering not at the promises of God. Look what he says here. Then Abraham fell upon his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born unto him that is 100 years old, and Sarah, who is 90 years old, there? This is the person that God is calling strong in faith. Does it sound like his faith is strong? No, he's doubting God here. This is why we walk by faith, not by sight. I'm not saying what he's doing. I'm showing you God is not even concerned with that. When God gives us the report on Abraham, all he's telling us that Abraham staggered not at the promises of God and is strong in faith. God seems to have overlooked this issue here.
Because it's not a part of football faith. When you stand up before God, when this thing is finished, you know, a lot of things we made a big deal out of.
God, I'm like, that was just getting you through. You were stumbling around with that, but that wasn't even a part of the issue. I told you what I was going to do here. I say I filled you into the day of redemption. You were concerned, and you thought you were doing things to kind of get some brownie points, but that had nothing to do with it. Christ gave you all the brownie points you needed. There was nothing else you could do to get any type of advantage from me. So he says, and then Abram fell upon his face, laughed, and said in his heart. He didn't say this out loud. But what difference does it make when you say it in your heart? What about God? God still knows what you're doing. God's looking right. Okay, I know you don't believe me. He's laughing at you right here. But see, this person did laugh. Go on a little further in verse 8, chapter 18. Genesis 18. Look at this. Abraham strong in faith, staggering not at the promises of God. That's why when you're talking about being strong in faith, it's Christ's faith, it maintains, it stays consistent. If you believe not, he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. He will not deny himself. You should be encouraged when you see this. We're going through ups and downs in our sanctification, but God's looking at the finish line. Verse 11. Genesis 18. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and were well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. That's why we're talking about calling those things which are not as if they are, quickening if the dead. She was past her ability to have children. You see that? This was supposed to be an impossibility. But with God, all things are possible. So look what he's saying here. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, I'm waxed old. So shall I have pleasure, my Lord, being old also? She laughing at God, but they're strong. This is strong in faith people here, right? She's laughing. She's not believing God. Therefore, Sarah laughed within herself, saying, after I am old, am waxed old, shall I have pleasure? She paused the halfway, man, because Hagar had that baby already. Now you're going to wake up just way too old to have kids. Now you're talking about me having a baby. We were trying it back then. Now I'm way too old. Now I'm not even trying to think about it. Come on now. Really, look at what's going on here. So she's really, my God, because she's still thinking from the parameters of her physical ability. And the Lord said unto Abraham, wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I surely bear a child which am old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? At the appointed time I will return unto thee according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Then Sarah denied, saying, I laugh not, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou didst laugh. You see what happened there? She said, I didn't laugh. What did you say? I didn't laugh. God, but you laughed. I know you laughed. We're talking about the law of faith here. Look at verse chapter 21. 1 and 2. Genesis 21. 1 and 2. God got them from here to here. This birth was the finality of that hope that he gave him, and that's all that he was trying to get to. Look what he does here. 21:1-2. And the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as he had spoken, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham's son in his old age at the set time of which God had spoken to him. You see what faith is telling us to do here? When God says that something manifests itself, it surely will manifest itself. The same way, turn back to Romans here, because this is the purpose of why this is written. This is the purpose by which this is written. Romans 4:20. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God. That's what God, that's how we view ourselves as it pertains to what God is doing with us through the body of Christ. We don't look at it from a physical vantage point, because if you do, you're going to see how Abraham was stumbling and all over the place as it pertains to his cognizant faith. That's why when we believe God, when we I make a reference to that passage over there in Galatians, it talks about even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified how? By the faith of Christ. And see, that's why this all goes together. Our justification is not just based upon us believing, because there are some things that may manifest in our life that might change our belief. It's just the fact of the matter. In fact, Timothy lets us know that, right? 2 Timothy 2. This is why we understand 2 Timothy 2:13. This verse is very important too. This is one of those verses that you can add to your notes of eternal security. Look what it says here. This is how you add all of these things together. A lot of people still don't know how this is the truth. 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, where does it get to a point that a person might believe not? What is he not believing? That he's saved. Definitely that he's saved. But so if he's not believing that he's saved, he didn't believe the gospel works, right? He's believing not. He's got to the point in his life that he's not believing it. You know anybody like that? Absolutely. Absolutely, I know some people like that. That at one point believed, but now you ask them about, are you saved?
I used to be. I go to church. I got baptized. I did, you know,
and they really don't, because they don't have the surety of that. But if they believe at one point in their life, just like Abraham believed God, and then you can see clearly he stopped believing it. Do you see the doubt that he had? God told him that he was going to be a father of many nations and all these different things, and then he doubted God. So how can you say that his faith was continual?
Well, the good news, it wasn't his faith.
It was a faith that is accounted to. The law of faith says once you hear it and believe it, you have it.
Amen.
Nothing is going to take it away from you. These are dynamics that are exclusive to you and I as members of the body of Christ, and nobody else can brag or boast these truths. And you have to know them and understand them so that you can start infiltrating the lie that's out there that people are telling, that it's about faith plus work or endurance to the end, because you can't endure to the end, because if it's based on you, you will lose your salvation every moment. You can't continue with it. So when he's talking about over here in 2 Timothy 13, and he's talking about if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. What is the body faithful right there? What exclusively about Christ that's the body faithful? His faith, what is it called?
His faith is called in the scripture, this is the term we need to know.
Faith of Christ. Faith of Christ, don't forget that term. That term is yours. That term is uniquely yours. The faith that God has given you is the faith of Christ. And we talked about at conference, that's trying to be taken out of your Bibles. It's the faith of Christ that abideth faithful until the end. Your faith might not make it. Some of us are still going to be trusting and believing that this is going to happen, but somebody's going to be believing into the circumstances of life, going to fade away from it. They don't see Titus did, didn't he? He loved this world, this present world so much, he kind of like, oh, I get to that, but I got to do this. So it's going to happen. So our faithfulness, don't put too much stock in your faithfulness. Agree. Continue to be faithful, but recognize that your faithfulness is really not your faithfulness. Your faithfulness is what? It's Christ's faithfulness. It's Christ living in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So let's read out Romans 4, and we'll finish for today. And being fully persuaded that he had promised, he was also able to do what? This is important. Verse 21 of Romans 4. The reason I have to say it, because when you see the terms connected with what was going on with Abraham, you have to connect that term with what's going on with you. Look what the terminology is saying, what the phraseology is saying. And being fully persuaded, that's full of faith, full of trust, that what he had promised, he was able to perform. Abraham being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to do what? Also to perform. So now, if he's also to perform it, what are we fully persuaded that God has promised us that he's able to perform? The key term here is perform. The key term is perform. Come on with the verse. You got it. Amen. That's it. That's definitely it. But see, that's what we want to know. See, this is, we want to see our reflection of what did Paul, what did God do with Abraham that connects with us. You have it?
Yeah, Philippians 1:6, right?
So come on, that's it.
Be confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ.
He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ. You see that? He didn't allow Abraham's foolishness and doubt and Sarah's laughing and all that stop him from doing what he said he was going to do. We get it? We have a life to live, and we're not going to, God is not going to allow your foolishness. He seals you until the day of redemption. He's going to take you in that bubble and get you to where you need to be. If he justifies you, he's also going to glorify you. Nothing's going to stop that. Why tell people that? Doesn't that give them the desire just to live any old kind of way? You know what's stopping you from living any old kind of way now that you're saved?
The love of Christ.
The love of Christ is constraining you. Some people don't really receive the love of Christ at the vantage point because they won't get themselves under the tutelage. It's there, but you won't understand it if you don't study the Word of God rightly divided, or if you go into another ministry that teaches you the fear of Christ. Amen. Their mind is not removed. They get into the fear. They're still preaching the law and getting the spanking on the hand, and that's not going to draw you to Christ. It's the love that's going to constrain you to serve. Romans 4. He was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. See, all over again. That's the same thing. They said that three times. About being imputed to righteousness because of him believing God. And simply because of him believing God. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for who? Us. That's written for us. That's our mail. That's our news. That belongs to us. This unique information that's only found in this area of the scriptures. Out of all this Bible, it's just for us. This is where this is found. The rest of it is contrary to that. You have to really understand this because people are going to use all the rest of this to try to make you not understand what God is doing with you because it's totally contrary to the law of faith and the hearing of faith. It's talking about not only the hearers of the word, but also the doers. That's not what God is doing with you. Was Abraham doing it? Who did it? You have to preserve yourself to know that God is doing it and has done it and is doing it through you today. There's a difference. You have to gird up yourself with this truth. You can't let anybody take this away from you. They're trying to do it. Listen, if you're not studying to show yourself a fool boy in the church that's studying the Bible rightly divided, you don't have enough ammunition to fight off what this world is throwing at you. I guarantee you. I guarantee you can't fight it off. You need to have the truth. Rightly divided. Verse 24. But also for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus Christ. And I love this. See how it brings in the gospel again? See, it's not always going to complete the full gospel, but it's going to take you back to what he's talking about. Right? If he's talking about who believes on him that rose up Jesus from the dead, what is that talking about? What is that passage? What gospel is that making a reference to?
That's our gospel. What is that going to tell us? What we preach? 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our what? Justification. Praise God. This is what we wanted to express to you today, just the fact that this law of faith, the uniqueness of these phrases that's used, how we should understand them, because when different things come up in conversation, when faith comes up in conversation, when Abraham comes up in conversation, when the law comes in conversation, when faith plus works or faith without works, when all that comes up in conversation, you want to build up that edifice of doctrine that you have so that you can implement some truth into what the conversation is. And by doing so, we want to give God all the praise, honor, and the glory. Any questions or comments?
I did watch that YouTube video that Todd Boucher had mentioned that when he closed out the conference, and he had mentioned that somebody from his congregation, you know, they had gone through this thing, they wanted to do the streaming video, and he didn't want to do it. They did it anyway, and now they're getting blessings from it. And they put some of his messages on YouTube or whatever, and one of them that they did was Paul versus James, the gloves come off. YouTube, and I did watch that one. There's, you know, two more or whatever. He did a whole series of Sunday messages and things like that. And it's like, you read some of these comments, and it's like some of these people are attack power, you know, some of these people that are trying to preach each other gospel and the kingdom of that, they're saying, like, Paul was not even supposed to be in the Bible, and, you know, all the stuff that he wrote is contrary to what other guys write and stuff. Now, I don't know what they do with the verse of Peter or whatever, where Peter feels sorry for him, a lot of you just got to pray for him, because they are, like, really using the scriptures, but they're using the rest of the scriptures under their own destruction.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Amen. I mean, Brother Jeremy actually taught, Deacon Jeremy actually taught a great lesson last week. We watched him on YouTube where he was talking about why Paul is so significant, why people want to discount Paul and throw him out of the equation, and how God authenticates Paul's message and what all that he has done. So we definitely want to try to remember that that's the battle that we are fighting. We have to continue to understand the difference between what God did in time past, what he's doing today, and every little detail of what God has done with us. We need to know it so that we can really explode on the scene when we have to defend it.
That just got posted, I think it was Friday.
Amen.
I got to be the first one to view it.
You're right on it. Praise God. Praise God. Any other comments or questions?